Hello and welcome everybody to Flicker Effect. I'm Dave Lott. Joining me is Michelle Hillard.
Hello everyone.
Hello. It is just the two of us tonight. Yeah. And we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. Bobby and Yasha could not join us. And it's been a quieter week in movie and TV news, and we haven't actually seen anything lately. So we decided, why not talk a little bit about a convention that we are very fond of, that we will be attending in just over a couple weeks. Just about a couple weeks by the time.
It's almost exactly 2 weeks.
About exactly 2 weeks when this episode will probably get posted. We're talking about DragonCon in Atlanta.
Yes.
And we thought it would be fun to just have a conversation about DragonCon because we love DragonCon. And we thought that there might be some out there who are interested in DragonCon. Maybe you've never attended. Maybe you're attending this year for the first time. And you have a lot of questions about what it's going to be like. And you might have some of those questions because upon your own research, you may have quickly figured out this doesn't seem like it's quite like any other pop culture comic book sci-fi convention I've been to before. And you're right, it probably isn't. So yeah, we're going to talk DragonCon. You up for that?
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. So, you might ask, what is DragonCon?
David, what is DragonCon?
DragonCon takes place in Atlanta, Georgia every Labor Day weekend. I don't think it was always on Labor Day weekend, but it's been Labor Day weekend for quite a while.
Like since the early 2000s, right?
Since maybe earlier. Again, I don't remember exactly when, and we may get more into this, but if you go to DragonCon.org, the official website, they actually have a very well-written kind of origin story of DragonCon in the About section. Just go to About and click on About DragonCon, and they start off with the DragonCon origin story, and it basically goes through every major kind of milestone as the convention grew over the years since 87. 87 was the first year of the convention.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been around a little while.
It has been around for a
while. I should have asked you before I said that, like, did you know, like, how old the convention was, and could you make a guess?
I feel like I knew that it started in the late 80s, but still, yeah, I like to think about it starting in 87 and continuing to just grow and keep going every single year. It's kind of amazing. I'm curious about this one that says the year DragonCon broke. Is that for 2022?
No, 2003.
Oh.
Again, we're not going to just
I'm not going to say a decent story, but it was looks interesting.
Yeah, the, okay. that whole that about section on the website is like broken it up is. Into it looks like eight different kind of milestone kind of sections. It goes into the DragonCon origin story, talks about cosplay, the 1990s, the 2000s, blah blah blah. Just check it out on your own. It's well written. It's interesting.
Yeah.
The convention, I don't know if it still does. I know when I first started going, it seemed to be labeled most specifically as a sci-fi convention, like some conventions you go to.
Yeah. And
I don't think they still kind of go by that description, though. Even in the early years, it seems like the convention was kind of mostly focused on sci-fi and gaming and like rock music. Which you still see evidence of all that now.
You do.
Like, you get a lot of bands that show up at DragonCon. Yep. Sci-fi is definitely a big part of it, for sure.
It is.
Gaming is a big part of it.
Yeah. I mean, the gaming floor is huge. It's gigantic. I mean, I say floor. I mean, whole floor. It's quite big.
Yes. And one thing I actually wanted to say right off the top, which we haven't mentioned yet, I mean, I think it goes without saying, but just in case, we are not officially affiliated with DragonCon in any way.
We are not speaking
officially for DragonCon.
No.
With that said, we are now both volunteers at DragonCon.
Okay. got my volunteer shirt on.
You have your volunteer shirt. I just have a regular DragonCon shirt on. So we are very familiar with DragonCon. We're volunteers. We volunteer on the digital media track, and we'll get into tracks a little later. But we are not speaking officially for the convention in any way, shape, or form.
No. This is our own firsthand experiences and knowledge. David has been going since 2014, 2015.
I was trying to figure that out. I've at least been going since, I think, 2013. And what I couldn't remember is if I went in 2012 or not. I don't think I did. I think 2013 was my first year.
My first year was 2016.
Okay.
So, and that was so short, quick, fun story. That was the year I went up literally for about 48 hours. I literally got there like, oh gosh, when did I get there? I got there, what, Friday morning or Saturday morning? I got there Saturday morning, like it was the first flight. Like, and then I took the MARTA from the airport to basically the Marriott downtown Atlanta. And then I had an Airbnb for one night, which is almost impossible to do nowadays. And then I left Sunday evening. I had like a 9 p.m. Sunday night flight. Because you guys were getting ready for Mechanical Masquerade. That's I literally was there for like 36 hours.
Yeah.
And I was hooked.
And before that, like, what conventions had you been to before that? Anything?
Comic-Con. You literally had already... just a month prior.
Okay, so you did go to Comic-Con that year. I couldn't remember the first year I went to Comic-Con.
I believe I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had been to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
All right.
That was really kind of it. I've worked in the hotel industry. I know how conventions go. More traditional conventions that are a little more businessy. But I also am not unknowledgeable to, you know, fan conventions. We'll just call them that. So, but anyways, sorry.
Anyways, I think my first year was 2013. And I was supposed to go with a friend. It did not work out. He unfortunately had a family emergency that happened like basically right before the convention. And then I found myself in a situation of, oh man, I was really looking forward to this. Do I still go or not? And I decided to go. Super glad I did, because same thing. I was hooked after that first year when, even though I was basically alone, it worked out that I ended up not being alone. I got there. So I got there. And we had just gotten, or I don't remember if we were both going to stay there or what. But anyway, I was staying at like a Red Roof Inn, like down one of the MARTA lines, outside of downtown. And I was just looking for something cheap, but I wanted it to be near a MARTA station so that I could just easily jump on a MARTA every day and take the train into downtown where the convention's held. And I would just enjoy my day. And then every night I would take the MARTA back. And like my first day, I take the MARTA down, and very early in the morning, I'm scrolling through social media as I'm killing time, you know, waiting for something. And I find out that a good friend of mine is going to actually be at the convention, and I didn't even know about it. And I reach out to him, and it turns out they are staying in one of the host hotels and they need someone else because someone else bailed on them. And hey, am I interested? And I'm looking at this. I think I was in the Marriott at the time, looking at this hotel going, wait, I could stay in here? Like,
I could stay here.
And it's not going to cost, I mean, you know what they were going to charge me for my cut of the room? I'm like, I could afford this. Sure. And I go bail on my room at the Red Roof Inn.
Red Roof Inn.
Grab all my stuff.
I'm going to a host hotel.
Into their hotel. And that was probably the greatest decision I'd ever made.
Yeah.
Because it did cost me a little more. So there was a part of me that's like, oh, is this really responsible? Yeah, I probably should just stay where I'm at. But no, it was totally worth it. And we'll get into that as well as to why staying at a hotel can be so beneficial. Not to say you need to stay in one, but
no, it's not required. It's definitely not required.
It's definitely not required.
I mean, you know, but no, it, basically my point of all this is that you and I are speaking based on our own experiences and the multiple times that we have gone to Comic Con or Dragon Con. Sorry. We've gone to Dragon Con. Don't get
them confused.
And yeah, just this is kind of like our what it's about. And when it comes to what it's about, Dragon Con is hard to confine into like one little box, but it's about everything. It's about nerddoms and fandoms, and it's about people of acceptance, and I don't know, it's just about a lot of stuff. It's a lot of cosplay. There's the games.
So the one major aspect of Dragon Con that I was aware of before I went was the cosplay.
Yeah. Like, it's big.
You know, I'd been to Comic Con then.
It's big.
And I'd been to MegaCon here in Orlando. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And I just remember from the exposure I had to Dragon Con before I actually went, it seemed like one of the biggest things about the convention was the cosplay. That cosplay was a really big deal at Dragon Con. And this goes into a question that we actually have. And speaking of that, since Bobby couldn't be here, and he was actually going to join us, even though he's never been to Dragon Con before.
He was going to be the voice of the non...
Yeah.
The person who is interested and wants to go and has never been and has questions.
Yeah, he wanted to do that. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it. But he still gave me a list of questions to ask.
Which is awesome.
And this reminds me of one of them. He asked, can I still have fun if I don't cosplay?
Oh.
And it's not a question I want to completely answer right now. We'll probably answer it even more as we continue to talk.
Yeah.
But I will say quickly to answer that, yes, you can totally still have fun if you don't cosplay.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean, that first year I came, I did not bring any costumes. I was not cosplaying whatsoever. I think I ended up walking on the vendor hall and kind of considered buying a couple things to like quickly put together, something for like just one of the nights. Yeah.
Okay, I get that.
But I don't think I did. So I had no costumes that first year, and I had a great time. With that said, I went into the convention, I think, kind of having an interest in cosplaying, but I wasn't like, man, I am dying to cosplay, and I want to be a cosplayer. But then after experiencing that first year, it kind of rubs off on you. And
it does.
Not to say you'll feel left out if you don't cosplay. I don't think that's true, but you'll probably be inspired if you choose to come again to make some costumes.
Right.
There's a lot of themed parties.
Yeah.
And if you end up experiencing like the nightlife of Dragon Con, you are probably going to want to consider making some costumes or just buying some, bringing something.
Yeah. I mean, the short answer is, yeah, no, you can go to Dragon Con and have a fantastic time and not be in cosplay the entire time you're there.
Yeah, it's not only about cosplay by any means.
But like David said, like, I would be hard pressed to find somebody who is amongst the atmosphere who would go to like one of the themed parties or is watching the parade to not feel the inspiration of, wow, you know what? I want to come back to next year and I think maybe I will. And I think, one, it's just fun to kind of do and you see how many people are doing it. But two, I think one of the best things about Dragon Con is how much it is accepting of everyone and everyone's interests and fandoms. And you know, I know some people are like, oh, well, I feel awkward wearing basically a costume and it's not Halloween, you know, or, oh, like I feel embarrassed. And honestly, like it goes that those feelings go away because there's so many people that are also involved in the things that you're interested in that are also dressing up in those same fandoms that or maybe they're a fan of that fandom and they're not dressing up like that. And then they see your costume and they can be like, oh my gosh, you look amazing. Like it very quickly makes you feel very comfortable in basically your second skin of cosplay. So it's one of those things like you definitely do not have to. And you could go to Dragon Con a million, you know, 50 years in a row, never cosplay and still feel that envelopment of community and friendship, and that's really one of the best parts about the whole con.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Also with cosplay, I mean, this is probably true of like San Diego Comic-Con, which, I mean, we keep bringing up San Diego because we also attend San Diego fairly regularly. I've been a few times. And yeah, San Diego is certainly a convention where you could wear a pretty obscure costume. You're probably going to come across people who will know what it is. I would say that's even more so true at Dragon Con. Like, you could make some pretty obscure stuff and someone will know.
Someone will know.
I will call out someone. I don't even know them. It's a friend of a friend who is going this coming year, right? And he's even wearing a costume that I'm like, if there's a convention where somebody will know what that is, I guess it'll be Dragon Con. But he's wearing like a Matthew McConaughey costume from, was it Reign of Fire?
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a movie that I don't think did spectacularly well.
Like, this is not a movie that is really in kind of
that
the
is niche.
It's not the in like the major fandom zeitgeist.
No.
I have not knowingly come across someone cosplaying from that movie at Dragon Con before. And I mean, maybe that's why he went with it, because, oh, it's Dragon Con, I'm going to do something dragon related.
Right.
And that's what he went with. And maybe he's a fan of this movie. I don't know him, but.
But somebody will recognize him.
Somebody will recognize him.
Will happen. Like, it's so, and that's what I'm saying, like, it's fully embracing of basically every fandom out there,
right?
Like, really obscure ones. There's fandoms that are just from books and novels. There's fandoms from video games and from anime and comic. I mean, like, it, you will find your peoples. Like, your peoples will come to you. You will stumble upon them. Your fandom will embrace you. It will happen. Like, it doesn't seem like it will, but it just does. As huge as Dragon Con is, it's a very friendly con, and people embrace you, and so it feels like a small con, but it's huge. Like, it's so hard to explain, but yeah, it's nice. No, like, on one side, yeah, that is a really niche cosplay to do.
It is. When I heard this, especially because he's never been to Dragon Con, and I don't know. I don't know. Again, I don't know this person. But I'm like, wait, he's doing what? Reign of Fire? Like, is,
I feel like if
there's a lot of people that are really like, I've never seen this. Like, most people have not seen this.
Yeah. I feel like if he just hung around the people that are like, I'm going to go on a limb here, that are like kind of Viking-ish / sci-fi-ish / Game of Thronesy, How to Meet Your Dragon kind of groups.
Right.
I bet you those groups, if you were to like slowly go to a track or two in that kind of realm, they'd be like, that character, the Matthew McConaughey one.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, they'll get it. It will click in somebody's brain and he'll feel extremely validated. And I'm not saying he's going to have like 100 people know who he is. But at some point during the con, I guarantee at least 3 people over that weekend are going to say, oh, yeah.
Somebody will get it. But anyway.
Totally. And that's what's cool about the con.
Exactly.
Exactly. Man.
So I think we mentioned at the top of the show that this isn't quite the, it's not really like any convention I've been to. Not that I've been to a huge variety of different like pop culture conventions. But again, I've been to San Diego Comic-Con. I've been to MegaCon. MegaCon is now owned by Fan Expo. So I see footage and stuff from all the other fan expos around the country. Yeah. And I know they're basically set up the same exact way as MegaCon is. And I know there's a lot of other conventions that have a very similar setup. Most of the time, they're in a convention center. There's always a largish vendor / exhibit floor. And you also have panels and various panel rooms around the convention center. You'll like get a lot of
rooms, boardrooms. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll have an area where you have a lot of celebrities that will have tables where you can pay to get an autograph or maybe take a selfie with them. Mm-hmm. Or you can pay for a photo op and, go to like a special little room where you'll take a quick photo with them. That's, professionally taken. It looks great. We've both done that before.
Yeah.
Anyway. I would say, arguably, the biggest thing that when it comes to the layout anyway, and the environment of Dragon Con that I think naturally just turns it into a different experience. Just this one thing, I think, does so much to change the dynamic of the convention is its location. It's not in a convention center.
Not in a single convention center.
Right. It's in hotels. It's always been in hotels. So when I was reading through that history, I think it started in the Hilton. Eventually, it moved to the Hyatt. And then eventually, it added a second hotel at the Marriott. And then it grew into three, and then four, and then five hotels. But yes, this is a convention that takes place in five host hotels that all have convention space in them, but in downtown Atlanta. Those five hotels are, the Hyatt, there's the Marriott Marquis, the Atlanta Hilton, there is the Westin, and then also a newly named hotel. It used to be the Sheraton. It is now the Courtland Grand.
Right,
it's a Wyndham, isn't it?
It's a Wyndham, yeah. Wyndham Courtland Grand.
Yeah, it's a Wyndham. So that is new for us this year. We, I think, all are going to be used to calling it the Sheraton. I think a lot of us are going to just continue calling it the Sheraton.
Here's a side note to the con. Nothing at the con ever dies.
Yeah, there'll be like the cult of Sheraton, like that'll probably grow out of this major change for a lot of us. This will be the first time a hotel has changed name since I've been going.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird.
And it's weird because historically, that hotel is always where the badge pickup is for your badge for the weekend. And so it's just so like ingrained now. Oh, going to the Sheraton this morning to go get my badge. And it's going to be weird to be like going to the Courtland to get my badge. I just don't know how natural it's going to be. I think most people are going to be like, I'm headed to the Sheraton. I mean, the new hotel.
Right.
So that'll be weird.
It'll be weird. But it takes place in five hotels. Three of the hotels are connected by kind of these bridge walkways that go
over the... Aqueducts. Not aqueducts. There's no water.
The habit trails.
It's like the connections between, like, you have a gerbil or a hamster cage, and you have those little connector tubes. That's basically what we have, but for humans.
The Hyatt and the Marriott and the Hilton are connected. So in a lot of ways, those three hotels seem to just naturally become kind of the hub of where everyone, like when you're just hanging out at the convention, most people will hang out in one of those three. And the Marriott being in the middle seems to then naturally turn into the really centerpiece of that kind of hub.
It also has the biggest lobby hang area of the hotels.
And that's why it's got a lot of space.
It does. It has the most space. So it naturally kind of ends up winding up being the main one. But people hang out at the Hilton and the Hyatt. There's, this is going to be such a long show. There's so much.
I think the fact that this is taking place in hotels instead of a convention center, and everyone is basically, not everybody, but the extreme majority of people attending Dragon Con are staying in these hotels. So they are there all the time, and it creates this atmosphere of everyone just staying up and partying and having a great time. And I think that's really the biggest major difference between this and what I would say a more conventional convention.
But even then, there's the main host hotels, and then there's I can't think of it now, the additional hotels, the like joint hotels, the
I mean there's other hotels,
kind of hotels, there's kind of,
if you know there's overflow hotels, I guess you could call them. I don't know
You know, companion hotels, I guess, is the best way to go.
Basically, like on the official Dragon Con page, they just kind of list them as Atlanta hotels outside of the five core host hotels.
Right.
We're staying in one of those this year. We have most of the time stayed in a host hotel, and I love it. And we will probably do it again at some point in another year. But this year, we're actually staying in the Ritz-Carlton, which has a Dragon Con rate, like a lot of the other hotels in the area.
A lot of them do.
But it's right there, basically in the middle of everything. It's just not officially a host hotel.
Right, and we've stayed at that before, and so we know where it's located in Aspect Everything Else. It's basically a side street over.
Yeah.
And so for he and I, it's just easier to do that. But if you want to really just embrace the vibe and the feel and just be kind of consumed in Dragon Con, staying at a host hotel is always beneficial because you really do get kind of sucked into the atmosphere and the camaraderie and just how enjoyable it is to kind of hang out with a bunch of people that are into cool, geeky, nerdy stuff.
Yeah, and maybe that doesn't appeal to you, right. And maybe you're very interested in this convention and you want to go and have a good time, but you want to get away from it at night. I fully understand that, and you could stay at the Ritz, which is really right in the middle of everything.
Hotel Indigo.
And Hotel Indigo is another example.
Yeah.
And when you're staying at your hotel, you'll definitely get away from all of the kind of excitement of the convention, but you'll still be super close. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that stay in hotels that are a few blocks away. There's tons of hotels in downtown Atlanta.
So many hotels.
I'll say, since we're on the subject, if you're hearing this and you're thinking, man, like, I'm not going to Dragon Con 2023, but, you know, maybe I will go next year. I'm going to go ahead and say this because it'll happen very soon.
Hot tip.
If you want to stay in a host hotel or even a non-host hotel, they start booking the hotels for the next year pretty soon after the convention ends.
Will start releasing their room rates on Monday, Labor Day.
Yeah. We have stayed at the Sheraton in the past, which is now, again, the Cortland Grand. And that is a hotel, for example, that has started booking for the next year while we are at the convention. They will release a link, a passkey link, to book the following year to people who are currently staying there as kind of like an advance, you know, option. And then they'll release it to everyone else like a couple days later, if I remember correctly.
But some of the hotels will release that week, right after that exact week after the con ends. And then some will release their rooms later on.
Some will release later on. There's a couple hotels that have legacy bookings. If you're not familiar with that, that means that people who are staying at the Hilton Atlanta and the Hyatt Regency who have a legacy room will have the option to book a room again the following year. And they will be able to continue booking every year until they just decide to not do it anymore.
The hotel basically gives them, I guess, a time frame. And they say, hey, do you want your legacy room to
book again next year? And you really don't have to fight for room every year, which is great. Because there are other hotels like the Marriott Marquis, which is extremely popular. They do not do legacy bookings. So every year, their bookings are usually in October. And everyone kind of jokes, you're playing the Marriott Hunger Games when they decide to release. It'll be a weekday at like 10 a.m. or something like that. Yeah. And they'll release the link and you'll like right at that time need to jump in and try to get a room. And
start refreshing. You'll have your phone, your iPad, your computer going and you're refreshing. It's basically a recreation of the scene of the guys from the Big Bang trying to get
Comic-Con badges.
And you're refreshing. It's kind of like that. It really, I mean, the nickname is the Hunger Games, but it really kind of is.
Yeah.
It's every man for themselves.
So, yeah, each hotel kind of has a different kind of quirk about how their booking works. Again, I would direct you to the DragonCon.org website, and you can get information about how to book each of those hotels from there. Some hotels require you to pay the entire amount up front. The Sheraton, now the Cortland Grand, would do that.
Yeah.
Like when you book it, you're paying the entire thing. Other hotels require a one-night deposit. Others require two nights, like the Marriott.
Or they'll slowly, throughout the year, take money up to basically the full conclusion of it about a month before. And you'll slowly pay your room. I mean, like every hotel and company runs it completely differently. You just have to be aware when you're booking what those policies are going to be.
There's also a great Facebook group. There's a couple of them.
But there are.
One in particular, and I'll leave a link for it down in the show notes for this episode, either the podcast or on YouTube. And I think it's just called Dragon Con Rooms, or there's also Dragon Con Hotel Connection. Mm-hmm. I always get the two mixed up. But there's one in particular I find very helpful.
The rooms one's very helpful.
The moderator of it, I think it's Eternal Zan, or Eternal Zan, I think is her name.
Thank you.
She does a really great job of creating specific threads for each hotel, for each year.
Yep.
People who have rooms that they want to give up and give to somebody else, you can do that on there.
And that's so a hot
like
tip.
Right now, if you're like, wait, I want to go this year, I want to go to 2023, you could go to that group. Mm. And possibly find someone who suddenly can't go. And they, instead of just giving up their hotel back to, or the room back to the hotel, they might be kind enough to try to give it to someone in that group. And, you know, you could get the room that way.
Deal with your finances with them that way. But you can either try to get a whole room to yourself. Or another thing to do is some people will do group rooms and they will say, hey, you know, there's four of us sharing this room and one of our people dropped out. We have an open slot, and that would help save money. If you're open to basically staying with complete strangers who after 4 days will either become your really best spectacular friends, best friends or your mortal enemies, who knows how it goes. But
right.
Most likely you'll wind up with three solid new friends, bare minimum, if you were to jump into if you really want to be adventurous. And you're like, I'm on a budget, but man, I just want to go. Like what David did, which is exactly what he did. He went getting a room. He only knew one dude in that room. And now he knows more people. And you got to kind of experience it with people that have done it before. And they can help you and give you tips and tricks and lead you the right way. So that's also, I mean, kind of scary, but also not. Like these are, most people who go to Comic-Con or Dragon-Con are pretty awesome peoples.
Yeah.
That's just the hotels.
And that's just hotels. The convention, if you are interested in attending and you want a badge, something else I wanted to mention because it confused me the first year when I had never been before and I went to the website to try to figure out how to buy the badge. I was very confused by the fact that they don't call them just, hey, you don't just go there and say, hey, buy badges here. You are buying a membership. Mm-hmm. And for instance, if you were to go to the site right now, is a buy now link. If you go to that buy now link, there's a link there that says grab your membership. It's not grab your badge. And if you're confused by the membership wording, and I completely understand because I was confused by that my first time around, basically the membership is your badge.
Yes.
But, you know, if you buy your membership early in the year, I mean, you'll be getting information about Dragon Con throughout the year. Basically, whenever you get it, that's when they'll start kind of including you in their mailings and emails and stuff like that.
And the rate for badges change. When they first release for the next year, they're at the lowest price they'll be. And throughout the year, they'll slowly up the price of the badges.
Yes.
So like right now for the Dragon Con that is in 2 weeks from now, it's at the highest it will be, but it's maxed out of its price
point. I believe it's at its maxed out point. I don't think it's going up again. It's right now at $175 for a 5-day badge. And that's something that has changed since I've even been going. I mean, I know it's changed probably a ton since it started, but since I've been going, the con was basically a 4-day con, and now it's officially a 5-day con. Yeah.
It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Being Labor Day.
Monday being Labor Day. Then they started to include Thursday officially.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, 5 days. 5-day badge right now is $175, which really isn't that bad. And like for you said, if you were to buy a badge like at the convention or in September, you're going to get it for, I don't know what price, it's like $120 or something, but it's definitely cheaper.
It starts lower if you buy for the year, buy a year out. But you can buy, I think, you know, and some days do sell out, so just be aware, but you can purchase just like a Friday badge or just a Sunday badge. But sometimes the Saturday only badge does sell out.
Yeah, and the single day badges don't go on sale until much closer to the convention. Correct. I think the single day badges for this year, I think, just started going on sale like maybe 2 weeks ago at most. It wasn't long ago. But the 5-day full weekend membership is available like all year long.
Mm-hmm.
There is also another option. If you are really, really diehard about Dragon Con,
you love Dragon Con,
maybe the rest of your life, and this might be something to consider if you're younger and you think you are actually going to be going many years into the future, there is an Eternal membership. you can buy for Dragon Con.
And you have a badge every year.
You will have a badge every year until the convention no longer exists. You will have a badge. Even in the afterlife, if you find a way to come back, they will let you in. Mm-hmm. Right now, the Eternal membership is going for
rock bottom price.
$4,500. But if you are willing to fork over $4,500 for an Eternal membership, you'll never have to worry about a badge again. You're good to go. You also get like a VIP badge pickup area. You have a Eternal members lounge.
Yeah. A special lounge for the whole weekend every single year.
I think Eternal members get a spot in the parade.
You do get a spot in the parade. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a thing. It's one of those things that I'm not going to lie. Knowing what I know now about Dragon Con, if I were right now 20 years old and I had $4,500 to throw around, I would seriously consider that. Now, at my age, I can't justify, like, considering how many more years I will probably attend. I don't think I'll attend enough years to make an Eternal membership
worth it. But it's a membership. It's consideration that, let's say, one of your children loves Dragon Con. And make a good gift. They say they want to do it for their life. Man, you could, on their 21st birthday, say, look, I have bought you an Eternal membership, and you can go for life.
For life.
They would think that is so cool if they like Dragon Con.
They like Dragon Con a lot. Neither of my kids have shown evidence that they will like Dragon Con that much, but that could change. They are young.
You never know. But I'm just saying, the Eternal membership is there. But otherwise, us mere mortals... You just buy it each year. And yeah, I mean, if you compare it to the price of, say, again, a San Diego Comic-Con badge, it is pretty reasonable for 5 days of content and access to everything. It's a really great price.
It is.
I mean, if I think about the panels, and we're going to get into this in a minute, but... panels, the vendor shopping floor alone, oh my gosh, the gaming room, the Walk of Fame, access to the parties, mm-hmm. and the things that you can do at night, and I say all this, and there's parties for people that are kids. There's age group parties. They run until 10 p.m. and it's age appropriate. Like, not all the parties are alcohol included. Like, they could be like, nope, we're a non-alcoholic party, and you can go and hang out with people that don't want to do those things. And like, these options are there for everyone. Everyone has an option to do what they enjoy to do. And that's what makes Dragon Con so cool. But that's what your badge buys.
That's what your badge buys. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Going back to the host hotel thing, I forgot to mention another kind of benefit of staying in a host hotel is Dragon Con TV.
Oh, yes.
Something else that is really unlike another convention, any other convention I've been to. You'll see this at hotels that have convention spaces for all sorts of different types of conventions. You know, you'll go to a hotel and they'll have like a couple different channels when you go through the guide that are like convention channels.
And they'll stream like a speaker from the main ballroom or something.
Yeah, into the rooms. So Dragon Con takes advantage of that, and they broadcast Dragon Con TV. And once the convention starts, it is broadcasting 24/7.
Three channels.
And there is one main channel, but yeah, I think it's three. And I know there's DCTV Land, where they play like panels from previous years.
Yeah, it's old school stuff.
But the main Dragon Con TV channel is broadcasting a lot of the live, like big main programming panels. Basically the panels with celebrities that are there to talk about like whatever show they're working on. And
promoting.
Guests, you know, mostly it's just a Q&A where... there's a moderator that's asking them some questions, but then they just take a tons of questions from the audience.
But then they also broadcast the parade.
They broadcast the parade, and in between things, the Dragon Con TV group throughout the year make all of these like geeky, silly, like commercials, like mocking kind of, I mean...
kind of SNL-esque.
Kind of, yeah.
Esque. Kind of silly, stuff. Nerdy things. A lot of them, I mean, but again, they don't go too far because there's kids in the room. So.
Right, yeah, nothing inappropriate.
But everything's just all kind of tongue-in-cheek, fun, ingest kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of, it's just kind of entertaining to watch, and it really helps kind of put you in the spirit of the con.
Right.
Honestly, I mean, like, when we get there, we basically turn it on. It's basically all we watch the whole time.
Oh yeah,
it's all in the background.
It's another way of, like, I cut myself off from the outside world when I'm at Dragon Con. I mean, other than like my cell phone and probably coming across news on there. Yeah. When it comes to the TV in the room, I would say 99% of the time it is just on Dragon Con TV all the time. I walk back into the room and I just turn it on just to have it on in the background.
Yeah, just background.
This is kind of part of the atmosphere for me now, yeah. And I like that.
Keeps you in the spirit.
There have been times I have stayed with friends and shared a room at one of the host hotels with friends, and then I'll come back and they'll have on like CNN or something, and I'm just like,
oh no.
I'm trying not to be that annoying like roommate. It's like, can we please not watch this? Like, can we just put Dragon Con TV on?
I think the rule that David and I kind of abide by is that if you are not watching Dragon Con TV channels, you must be watching a nerd content.
Yeah, we did like that one year. We watched
Sci-Fi channel.
We watched Sci-Fi. Sci-Fi channel was like playing Harry Potter that weekend.
They do it almost every year now, though. Yeah, and they'll run a marathon of Harry Potter films on Labor Day weekend.
Especially because that year we were staying at the Ritz, which is not a host hotel.
And I was sick.
And we didn't have Dragon Con TV on the actual hotel TV, so we were watching a lot of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But then that goes into the fact that you can also attend Dragon Con in a way without actually going to Dragon Con. There is a thing called a streaming membership. Yeah. If you go to the Dragon Con website, and I'm trying to find it as I talk about it, there is a way to buy a streaming membership. It's under resources. And it'll take you to the Dragon Con TV webpage. And when you first go to that webpage, if you don't have a streaming membership, it's going to take you directly to the sign up for that. You can create a Dragon Con TV account. And this, it's still crazy to me how cheap it is. The Dragon Con TV like streaming package for the year is literally just $10.
Like, for the 365 days access. Year.
So they are streaming live over the weekend. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff. You're basically getting to watch the Dragon Con TV. You're watching the Dragon Con TV that they're showing in the hotel rooms. Like, you can watch it at home.
Yeah, you get the channels.
You get the channels and everything. And then you'll get to see a lot of the bigger main programming panels streamed to your home.
It's
only $10.
So if you don't think you're going to make it this year, and or you're just curious as to what the heck we are talking about.
Right.
And you're willing to throw down $10, it might pay off pretty much in spades for you, because you'll have a fun Labor Day weekend of background TV that you can just have going at home. Mm-hmm. And it would give you a little bit of insight to the con itself and kind of help you kind of figure out the vibe. And maybe that might be your best intro into Dragon Con, honestly.
Right.
It's fabulous.
No, it's a crazy steal.
$10 for a whole year.
I mean,
how much do we pay a month for streaming services?
Oh yeah,
like, come on.
And yeah, I have already bought my 2023 streaming membership, even though we're attending, but especially because, again, we're not staying in a host hotel.
We're not.
And unless they change something this year and they're going to pump it into the Ritz, I doubt they are. So we'll probably have like a laptop up sometimes when we're in the room watching Dragon Con TV.
That's what we did the last time we were at the Ritz, is we had the laptop up with it. And then we had the TV on the Sci-Fi channel because it had Harry Potter on. Yeah. And then sometimes, we'll put on Adult Swim at night. And then you get, Rick and Morty and random nerd things kind of coming on there too. So I think our general rule is just always have Dragon Con centric-y things.
Right.
To help keep you in the spirit of the con. That's such a good membership.
It is. Yeah. It's a good deal. Before we run out of time, the actual convention.
Now we're going to talk about the actual convention.
We're not going to talk about it in depth. If you've never attended before, another big thing that's different, I find, about this convention as opposed to other conventions is that it is basically a volunteer run convention. Mm-hmm. Dragon Con has like year long staff that they employ, but I don't know how many people it is. It's not a ton.
It's probably, if I were to guess, 100-200 people at most.
Oh, I don't even think it's anywhere near that. No, it's like 20, yeah. Something like
maybe
that.
50.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious to find out. Ask somebody in the know, but I don't even think it's that many. I don't think it's a lot. I could be wrong, but so yeah, they have a full-time staff, but the majority of the convention is run by volunteers like us. We are volunteers now. And there are a lot of I wasn't familiar with this before going to Dragon Con, that like you'll see all these like fan tracks. And when you look at the panel schedule, which, you know, goes into the app, which we haven't even talked about.
Oh my gosh.
But the panel schedule will be kind of split up in fan tracks. And if you can also find this on the Dragon Con website. If you go to like things to do and what to do at Dragon Con, there'll be a button down below, which will just say tracks. And if you click on tracks, it'll show you all the different tracks. I think right now there are 32 different fan tracks. And they're basically taking the panels and giving them kind of...
they're grouping them.
They're grouping them in genre.
Correct.
We volunteer on the digital media track, which is about podcasting and digital media and, you know, YouTube and stuff like that. And
there's one for costuming.
There's one for costuming. There's an animation track.
There's
a Brit track, which is all things British. There's a film track, a horror track, all sorts of stuff.
And that's science fiction.
That's a fascinating thing. It's not just kind of pop culture stuff. I mean, yeah, you'll have a Star Wars track, but you also just have a science track or a skeptics track.
Yeah.
And these tracks are run by a volunteer track director. Mm-hmm. And that track director has volunteers that work under them. And throughout the year, that track director, working with his volunteers a lot of times, will create a panel schedule. And they'll figure out what guests they want and what panelists they want on these various panels that they put together. And
themes for the panels.
If you wanted to, you could spend your entire weekend at one track. You could just go, you know what? I am just super... super into Star Trek, and I am just going to basically go down to the Trek track room, because the Trek track will have its own space. I'm using them as an example, their own spot. They are usually, I think they'll probably still will be, they're usually over in the Hilton near us.
They're across the hall from us.
Right across the hall from us. And you could just spend your entire weekend in the Trek track.
Yep.
And just go to every Trek track panel.
Different topics, but all encompassing about Star Trek.
And if there's a problem with Dragon Con, that would be it. Like there's been years where I've just been like, oh my God, I love science. I could go to the science track stuff. I could go to the space track stuff. I could go to Star Wars track stuff, but they're all at the same time. And what do I do? Like, it's hard to choose because there's too many good things going on.
There's so much good stuff.
There's a lot of good information. You could learn a ton at these tracks. And that's just the kind of fan-run tracks. We're
just skimming the surface here.
There's also we've mentioned main programming. There's a lot of celebrities that attend Dragon Con. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to see a lot of them, usually they will be in main programming. They'll be like in a big ballroom, like in the Marriott or the Hyatt or the Hilton. And you'll just kind of... they're usually listed again under main programming when you go in the app.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, okay, we're going to hear, it's just a panel with William Shatner talking for an hour or something.
Yeah. Or you know, a show that has another season that's just about starting up, and then they'll all come and they'll talk about the show, and you'll have five people in a TV show and they'll be talking about it, plus like maybe the showrunner. And yeah, you can go to those, and they're in the big ballrooms, and there's TVs and cameras, and they have the whole thing. But again, that usually is also streamed to your room through Dragon Con TV. there's so many amazing things. And so if you have an interest in something, you will most likely find a panel or a whole track dedicated to your thing that you enjoy. You know, if it's anime, if it's anime that's just comics, or anime that's animated shows or film. Like, there's so, like, you can just dive in and be just swimming in your stuff, in your nerddom. It's right. Awesome.
So yeah, that's all the panels. You may have noticed we haven't talked anything about like a vendor floor, but there is a vendor hall.
It's not a floor. It is a hall.
It's a vendor hall. There's four floors, technically. Actually, I think really only three levels are the vendors.
Correct.
The fourth floor of this area that we're talking about is usually Artist Alley. I believe this year it's still going to be Artist Alley. Mm-hmm. But yeah, three floors of vendors. This is over in the one section of this convention that is kind of like a convention center.
Yeah.
It's the America's Mart.
Which isn't,
I don't know if it's like a civic space that they in downtown Atlanta, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's where the vendors are. It's, again, right near all the host hotels, right in this same kind of few block area of the convention.
Yeah.
So that's over in the America's Mart. I think usually in America's Mart. I don't know any details about that for this year. There's also like a gaming room area where
it's almost its own floor.
It's a whole huge room. Where if you're into tabletop gaming, they will have a whole collection of tabletop games you can just check out for free and, you know, take in that room. You can play with it in that room with some friends at a big table and then return it.
And then there's the arcade room. I say room again. The space is gigantic and it's arcade games of just let your imagination run wild, but it's a whole arcade area. You can go play video games all day. You can do tabletop gaming. I think there's even a whole offset that's just for D&D gaming. Like you find your fandom here, and you can really encompass yourself and really enjoy it. Like there's so much to do. Like America's Mart usually opens around like 10 a.m. And all I will say is that a lot of people go when it first opens, and there is a very long line. And I will warn you now: you are going to be in a line for that. It is going to happen
just to get in. But you could wait until a later time. Get in a lot faster.
But if you want to get there early and you're open to it and you have patience, the line moves. Once it opens, it moves. It is a moving line, and it does continuously load into the America's Mart. So don't be put off if you're like, oh wow, the line wraps around the building. It does, but you in 20 minutes of it moving, you will come back around to the front and go right on it. It's you just have to have the patience for it.
Right.
Don't let that discourage you. I'm just saying, don't be afraid of the lines. Don't let lines scare you. They move.
So one good question that Bobby had for us that we haven't gotten to yet, we might basically kind of finish on this. He asked, is there a lot of things to do around the city if you don't attend Dragon Con like there is for San Diego Comic-Con? And what he's referring to when it comes to San Diego, if you've never been, San Diego Comic-Con, even if you do not have a badge to that convention and you're in downtown San Diego, like in the Gaslamp quarter area, there is a lot of stuff to do that you could have a full weekend, basically, and never even go inside the convention center. Basically, especially you get a lot of the big studios that will have these installations. I think they're also called off-sites, where they'll take over spaces in downtown San Diego and convert them into like this experience to promote
the theme.
Whatever movie or TV show they want to promote. And you can do a lot of stuff like that in San Diego. I kind of comparing to that, which I think Bobby's referring to. No, there is not really a lot to do in downtown San Diego if you do not have a badge. With one major exception, and that would be the parade. The parade, which we've talked about a little bit, but we haven't gotten into, is on Saturdays, or it's on the Saturday of the convention every year. And it is basically a cosplay parade, if you will. I mean, it's all, everyone's in groups, basically groups when it's time to like register for the parade. Like, for example, the 501st will register, and then the 501st will go, okay, these are all the people that are going to march in the parade as members of the 501st. And you'll get a section of like Ghostbusters people, everyone in Ghostbusters costumes. The 300 is always
a big group.
Has a major group that's always in the parade.
It's a fun group to watch.
Right. but yeah, you get a lot of that at the parade, and any that's the one part of the convention where you will get everyone from Atlanta that wants to come check out mm-hmm. the craziness of Dragon Con without having a badge. They yeah. will come and check out the parade.
People who live in the Atlanta area will come to downtown Atlanta just for Saturday to watch the parade and to see all yeah. the people in the cosplay and try to get themselves kind of wrapped up into the fun of it all.
Yeah, so the parade is kind of another like major cornerstone of Dragon Con weekend, and that is, I would say, the one major exception to what Bobby is asking. Yes, that you could definitely do that and not have a Dragon Con badge. Outside of the parade, I would say no.
It's Dragon Con centric.
Yeah, but there's not really any other than just being downtown and seeing a bunch of cosplayers walking around downtown. Yeah. There's not really stuff to do in downtown Atlanta affiliated with Dragon Con that's
non-badged. Otherwise, yeah. I mean, if you want to go into the America's Mart to go to the vendor hall or go gaming, you have to have a badge. I would say Thursday is the only day it's kind of hazy on badges in the hotels, but man, come Friday, you have to have a badge to be in any of those host hotels. Like, there are people checking them at the doors, and I've seen many people get turned away that don't have badges. They're like, oh, I just wanted to see everybody. And they go, I'm sorry, you have to have a badge.
Unless you have a badge or you can prove that you were staying in that hotel. And you're not badge, you're not there for the convention, correct. But somehow you got a room.
somehow.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think we've said, like, sometimes we've come across, like, flight attendants who happen to be staying there.
Yeah.
Like, somehow their airline booked them in one of the host hotels for the weekend of Dragon Con. And, like, the other thing that always happens is, I think it's called the Kickoff Classic, is always on for college football in downtown Atlanta. And yeah. It's always Labor Day weekend as well.
Georgia Tech.
So you get an interesting mix of Dragon Con attendees and sports nuts all kind of intermingled together. It's an interesting dynamic.
It's kind of funny, though. It's kind of fun.
So, yes, sometimes I think you'll get people who somehow also manage to get a room booked in a host hotel who are there not for the convention, but they're there for that. But those, extreme majority of people staying in the hotels are there for
My point being is that you're not going to get to do con things without a badge.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to go into panels. And
it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I mean, like I said, Thursday, but that's, I wouldn't put money on that, I'll tell you right now. But I mean, it's Atlanta, Georgia. There's definitely other things to do in Atlanta. I mean, the aquarium is probably the top thing to do. Everybody loves going to the aquarium.
Yeah, and there's a Dragon Con night at the aquarium.
There is, like, yeah.
Like, you can buy tickets, and most people that go are all in cosplay. You know, there's bars set up inside the aquarium. And if you've never been to the Georgia Aquarium, it's great.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. Big Steve Zissou night that night.
Yep.
And then, of course, there's the Coca-Cola factory.
There's definitely stuff to do in Atlanta.
Like, there's lots to do in Atlanta. And so you definitely could go and say you only have a badge for Saturday and Sunday. And you're like, well, what am I going to do on Friday? I mean, there's definitely things you could do without a badge in the city of Atlanta, for sure. But, yeah, if you want to enjoy the con in any way, you basically have to have a badge. But again, for 5 whole days, for $175, for all this stuff that we're talking about, come on.
Yeah, and you can still buy a 5-day badge right now. I mean,
totally can buy a
5-day badge. As I have understood, it hasn't happened yet. Dragon Con has not, when it comes to the 5-day badge, has not sold out of badges.
No.
I think the powers that be in the Dragon Con offices have hinted that it's over the years gotten closer and closer. They've mm-hmm. never said a number of attendees that they would peak at. I don't think they've ever released a number of like what it would take for them to sell out. But there is a number, of course. They're not going to just sell out an infinite amount.
Buildings can only hold so many people.
So I'm not sure how close they've ever gotten, but they haven't gotten there yet. Now, I think, again, like you've mentioned, I think there's certain single day badges that have sold out, like Saturdays.
Like Saturday is usually the first single day to go. Friday is another one that seems to go. And then Sunday seems to go. So it's kind of like Saturday, Friday, Sunday. Those are the three that sell out the fastest for single days.
Yeah.
Well, there's someone we haven't even talked about, the masquerade. people that wear cosplay can sign up to do a masquerade.
And yeah, there's various contests. Like the masquerade that you're referring to is the Sunday night costume contest. There's other costume contests throughout the weekend. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the masquerade is, I think historically a lot of attendees, including us, will end up in their rooms watching it on Dragon Con TV before they decide to go to whatever themed party they're going to go to that night on Sunday night. And it's entertaining. It's funny.
It is.
But then, yeah, and it's fun. It's not just funny, but fun.
It is. But then there's the parties. I mean, there's usually a Harry Potter Yule Ball party that happens. Mm-hmm. There is the Star Trek one, Ford.
Ten Forward.
There's that party. The
Star Wars party is the last last night
on Alderaan. Yeah. For Star Wars.
It's a good one.
Probably the most popular one, I will say.
That one's a very popular one. Another very popular one that happens like the first night of the convention, Thursday night, I think it is Bunny Hutch. Bunny Hutch is a lot of fun, basically. A lot of cosplay.
It's an adult only one.
With bunny ears. But yes, it is a more adult party. And most of them are. Some of them will be more family friendly up until a certain point. Like you mentioned, Yule Ball, I think, will start at 8 and it'll be very family friendly.
Until 10.
Until 10. And then after 10, it's really adults only.
And that's a good, actually, that's a good thing to mention too, is Dragon Con as a whole is family friendly up until 10 p.m. And then Dragon Con basically says that from 10 p.m. on, it is an adult content con. So,
I mean, yeah, to an extent. I mean, it's not like just craziness after 10, but
they say basically, like, if you have young children after 10 p.m., there could be some more.
Costumes could get skimpier.
Costumes are going to get a little skimpier, a little more skin. Mm-hmm. So just kind of be aware of that. And then, yeah, like after 10, like under a certain age are not allowed into the parties. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. It is a family-friendly, kid-friendly con. There's a track that's just the kids' track. Mm-hmm. And they have a ton of stuff. They do cool stuff at the kids' track. I saw some of the stuff, and I was like, I want to kind of do that. But, yeah, so I'm not trying to, like, scare anybody away from that, bringing their kids. I'm just saying, like, yeah, like, it's family-friendly to a point, and then at that point, it becomes a little more adult.
Right.
There's just a lot. There's a lot with this convention. I will say, like, if I had my main tips, it would be to check out the website, as David has mentioned multiple times this evening. It is a great resource for learning about the convention itself. And then if you are attending the convention, I would say the next best resource you could possibly have would be to download the app for that year. It gives you so much information. It gives you a map, like an active live map of where you are and what you're doing. And it gives you a non-active map. And then it gives you all the tracks and the panels and the time schedules for things and the parties. It gives you information on the vendor hall and tells you who's in the vendor hall and what floor they're on. And I mean, the list goes on and on. I would say the app is definitely your best access when you're actually there at the convention. It's the best information you could possibly get.
Yeah, you can also share, like, your friend code with other friends. Oh, yeah, and you can become friends on the app, and you can share your schedules with your friends, because as you go through the panel schedule in the app, you can star the panels that you want to put on your schedule, the things you're going to attend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a great resource. As of this recording, the app has been updated for 2023. Mm-hmm. It just happened, I think, a few days ago.
Yep.
But again, as of this recording, the panel schedule isn't on it yet.
Not yet.
Might be on it by the time we post this. It could basically any day now.
Usually I think. A week out.
But yeah, the panel schedule will be on there very soon.
Yeah.
So if you're watching this as we're approaching 2023.
And then I think they give kind of a general, like, of the vendors that are at the vendor hall, they put out a general idea of them, but I don't think they concretely put a lot of vendors in until basically like Wednesday or Thursday of the con. Just because sometimes vendors have to drop out at the last minute because of situations. Right. And so they try not to lock that information in. And then they are constantly updating it. So should a vendor have gone to the convention and then suddenly they have to leave because of some kind of emergency, the app will update and say, you know, has left, or, you know, they'll gray them and say, you know, it's not, they're not there anymore. And it's really, and that's another great, it's another reason to have it. It'll tell you if a panel cancels or it moves rooms. And it'll keep you kind of updated to that, which is extremely
helpful. They'll push updates to the app throughout the weekend. Mm-hmm. You'll constantly get notices that, hey, you need to hit refresh to kind of force it to update. And any changes to the panel schedule, which there will be many, we'll go through constantly throughout the weekend. So.
Yeah.
We are out of time. So are there any last things that we did not get to cover, Michelle, that you wanted to touch on really quick before we got to go?
I don't know if I have any topics, but I would just say if you have a fandom and you are interested in kind of learning more about your fandom or being more enveloped in it or meeting people that are also interested, this is a great place to go do that. And I would recommend if you come with an open mind and an open heart. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't recommend Dragon Con too much. Like, it's just I really love it. If there is one convention I will continue to go to probably for every year for many years to come, it will probably be Dragon Con. We are dying to get Bobby and Yasha out to Dragon Con, and Bobby is gonna happen. I don't know about Yasha, but I know Bobby is basically said next year is an extremely good possibility. I think Bobby, you know, he asked the question, like, you know, can you have a good time without cosplaying? And I and in a lot of ways, I think he is genuinely curious about that, because Bobby doesn't seem like he's that interested in cosplaying. Like, is there a reason to go to Dragon Con outside of that? Yes, absolutely. Oh, as absolutely. We've discussed, I think Bobby will have a great time. But, you know, I don't know why this reminds me of this, but, you know, if you're like, oh, I want to wear costumes, but I'm not like, oh my, you know, super gifted at like making costumes, and it's just not my thing. Mm. You could go just buy a costume. I mean, one of our very good friends wears a Spirit Halloween made Stay Puft Marshmallow Man inflatable costume every year. And this is a convention where you will see cosplay that will blow your mind.
Oh, yeah.
But his Spirit Halloween bought costume constantly gets attention. It actually blows me away. And I think it's great, shocking, to be clear. But it is so funny to me how many people get so excited when they see him in this Stay Puft costume.
And they love the Stay Puft.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. Like, it's just an example. Like, you do not need to, like, get crazy with your costumes. If you are just like, hey, I'd love to wear a costume, but I don't really make costumes and I'm not good at that, like, just buy something. Like,
yeah. I mean, a lot of Spirit Halloween stores are opening up. There's even a website that you can order from, and basically they can get you 5-day shipping. I'm trying to remember what it's called now. It's HalloweenCostumes.com.
Oh, okay.
Another resource. So if you're like, I want to dress up, but I cannot do this, you can go, but you really want to do it, go buy a costume. Many people just buy store-bought costumes and go around the con the whole time. Like, it's totally fine and acceptable. There's people that literally just wear, like, comfortable, like, onesies that they got from, like, Tipsy Elves, and they just wear that all weekend. I mean, it's... embrace your thing, you know, and that's what I think is the best thing about this, is you can say, hey, this is my fandom, and people will embrace you and you'll embrace them, and like, it's just, it's all good vibes, basically. Yeah, I mean, honestly. Or just wear all the nerdy shirts you're embarrassed to wear to work, you know. You can pull them all out of their drawer in the dresser that never gets to see the light of day. Bring them all. Wear them all. Somebody will say, hey, I know that thing. You're like, yeah, I know. It's cool.
With that, we are going to wrap things up. As always, we would love to hear back from you. What did you think of this? I know it's a little bit different kind of show for us.
Yeah.
But I hope it was good information. If you have any questions or comments and you're watching us on YouTube, you can leave those questions and comments down below. If you are listening to the podcast version of this, you can email us at feedback@flickereffect.com. You can leave your review on whatever podcast platform you are listening listening to us on, like Apple Podcasts, for example, or Google Play or Google Podcasts, I should say. Again, we would just love to hear from you, and we appreciate you listening and watching us here at Flickr Effect. With that, I am Dave Lott.
And I am Michelle Hillard.
Thanks for listening and watching, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye.